want to invite you to take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Mark. Book of Mark, the 11th chapter. In a few moments, we're going to be focusing in on verses 13 and 14 of that particular chapter. I want to welcome everyone to our services. We do have a lot of folks out of town traveling. I know that Dustin Campbell and Shelley Schiff have gone to Van Buren this morning. They should be back tonight. Also, I know that Arlen and Kelvin Hendricks are out of town, and some others have gone and have left us here. They're hopefully serving the Lord somewhere, and I'm sure that they are. And we are going to do what we can do this morning. We welcome our visitors, perhaps. If you're here and this is the first time you've been with us, we hope that you'll fill out a visitor's card and let us know of anything we can do and answering any questions that you may have. But we welcome everyone to our services today. This morning we're going to be discussing this text, Mark chapter 11, verses 12 through 14. Nothing But Leaves is the title of the lesson. Had a couple of folks ask me this week, what are you preaching on Sunday? And I said, nothing but leaves. And every response I got was the same. What? And, well, I think we'll see where I'm going with this when we get started. Nothing but leaves. In the context, let's begin looking over some things in this context. First of all, in chapter 10 and verse 46, the Scripture says, now they came to Jericho as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great multitude. Now, he's came to Jericho and he left Jericho. This is, by the way, just before he enters into Jerusalem for the last time. This is just before his death. And he sends disciples in chapter 11, verses 1 through 7, into Jerusalem to find the colt that he is to ride in on. And then we read in verses 8 through 10 his triumphal entry into Jerusalem. And then we read of him, after viewing the temple, he goes to Bethany, which is a little place. In fact, the word Bethany there means house of figs, a village on the east slope of the mountain of Olives, 1¾ miles from Jerusalem. That's not very far. 1¾ miles. Many of you, if you walk on a regular basis, you walk that far, maybe twice that far. And so that's not very far. That's about 30 minutes if you're walking fast. Not very far. And then the tree with nothing but leaves, and we'll focus in on that, as I said. And after that, Jesus cleanses the temple. He is seeing things in the temple that he ought not see. He's angry about that. And in fact, as we think about the parable of the fig tree, I think we see the demonstration of it in this. He cleanses the temple because he had all these folks proclaiming their religiosity, proclaiming their faithfulness to God, but yet they were doing what they wanted to do instead. They made the claims, but they were not bearing the fruit. And then Jesus emphasizes the need for practical faith in chapter 11, verses 20 through 26. So in this context here, we have Jesus on his way to the cross. And he emphasizes the need for people to continue to trust in God, not in men, and not in themselves. And in these verses that we're going to be looking at, verse 12, now the next day when they had come out from Bethany, he was hungry. And seeing from afar a fig tree having leaves, he went to see if perhaps he would find something on it. When he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season for figs. In response, Jesus said to it, let no one eat fruit from you ever again. And his disciples heard it. Now, there are some questions that we may raise at the beginning as we think about this, because it seems that Jesus was a little bit too harsh on this tree. It had nothing but leaves, but it says, doesn't it, that it was not the time of figs. What is meant by that? It's not the time of figs. Well, we'll talk about that in a moment. And I think we'll see not only should he have expected to find figs on this tree, he should have, and he was totally just in doing what he did, but let's begin at the beginning for just a second here. He was hungry. Jesus was hungry. Here Jesus is on his way to the cross, the Son of God, God in the flesh, Emmanuel. He's on His way to the cross, and He's hungry. This speaks of His humanity. You know, Jesus, as He came here, He lived here, He suffered here, He did so in the flesh. Just like you and I suffer through things of this world, we get hungry, we get tired and sleepy. We get frustrated with the sins that are around us, and Jesus did too. Jesus saw what we saw in principle. Certainly some of the particulars have changed, but the human nature has not changed. Jesus Christ partook in all things of the flesh, like us, and except without sin. You know, you can read Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 17, Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 15. Both of those passages say the same thing. Jesus knew what it was like to be a human being. But He never sinned. And He saw from afar off. He was hungry, and He saw this fig tree having leaves. Now, fig trees, what they did was they would first bear the fruit, then they put on the leaves. The fruit actually preceded the leaves. So when this fig tree had the leaves on it, what was it pronouncing to the world? That it had fruit on it. And it had ripe fruit on it. That's what it was saying. Now, it wasn't the time for figs in the sense that it was not time for harvesting. But fig trees had fruit on them 10 months out of the year. 10 out of 12 months, a fig tree had fruit on it. So this was apparently right at the beginning when the fruit was coming onto the tree. And since this tree had leaves, it was saying, I have fruit. So Jesus should have expected to find fruit on the tree. And when He got there, He found out that it had nothing but leaves. That means it had no fruit. It had no fruit. There are three ever-present truths found in this text. And we're going to see what Jesus sought in this text in contrast with what He seeks today. And what He found in that tree and what He finds today and what Jesus did then and what He'll do today. There is an amazing lesson in this passage. First of all, in regard to this tree, He had the right to expect fruit on this tree. As He went to it, He looked at it. It had no fruit. But the lesson, the immediate lesson from the parable of the fig tree, is that Israel should have had fruit as well. In fact, going back to Mark chapter 11, let's notice what it goes on and says here in verses 20 and following. Now in the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, remembering, said to Him, Rabbi, look, the fig tree which You cursed has withered away. So Jesus answered and said to them, Have faith in God, for assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them. So of course He's saying, have faith in God. But Peter saw, notice, the next morning when they were coming back through from Bethany through Jerusalem, that the fig tree had no leaves. So what's the lesson? You know, here you have Israel. They were proclaiming faith in God. They were professing fruit. But they had none. They had nothing but leaves. Israel was God's chosen people, Deuteronomy chapter 7 and verse 6. They were His chosen, His elect, His children. But yet they turned away from Him. They spurned His commandments. God wanted to save them. In fact, Matthew chapter 23, verse 37, Jesus said, I would have, as a hen gathers her chicks, I would have taken you to myself. But they were not willing, Jesus says. You were not willing. God wanted to save them. But you know, God expects fruit from us today. And this is the lesson that we need to think about. When Jesus came to that fig tree, He was expecting to find fruit. It was saying He did. It had fruit, but it had none. What about us today? Jesus, doesn't He have the right to expect fruit from those who claim to be His followers? Those who say that we are Christians, doesn't He? And shouldn't He expect to find fruit? We are God's holy and special people, Titus chapter 2 and verse 12 through 14. In verse 14 especially, here we find the Apostle Paul saying that we are to be filled with good works. We are to be busy serving the Lord. We are to have good works. In fact, let's read verses 11 beginning in Titus chapter 2. The grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us, that He might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for Himself His own special people, zealous for good works. He has the right to expect that from us. We're His own special people. And He has the right to expect from us good works, that we should be zealous, in fact, of good works. We have heard and accepted the gospel in Colossians 1, verse 5 and 10. If you'll turn with me over to Colossians chapter 1, look at verse 5 with me. Because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, of which you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel. They had heard the gospel. They had heard it. They had accepted it. In verse 10, in fact, let's look at verses 9 through 11. For this reason we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with His knowledge, with knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy. Shouldn't Jesus expect us to be bearing fruit, being filled with this fruit, as a matter of fact? We should be filled with the knowledge of His will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that we may walk worthy, fully pleasing Him. We are to serve Him in a way that pleases Him, doing what He says. That only can come through knowledge. If we do not know what God wants, we cannot do what God wants. So we must know, we must study, we must learn what God wants from us. We are in Christ in John 15, verses 1 through 10. Here's another beautiful picture. What about the vine? The vine and the branches. The vine is bearing fruit. And the fruit comes on the branches. The branches are individuals. The individuals are those of us who have aligned ourselves, joined ourselves with Christ, and we are to bear fruit. What if we don't bear fruit? What does John say about that? In John 15, verse 1, as John's writing these words and recording the words of our Master, I am the vine, the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He takes away. That's what He does with a person that does not bear fruit. He takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, He prunes that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. So there we go over to Colossians chapter 1 and verse 5. We've heard the gospel. We've accepted the gospel. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. We must live in Christ in association with Him, taking His words to practice, serving Him in accordance with His will. We must do what He says. 2 John verse 9, whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. But whosoever abides in the doctrine of Christ hath both the Father and the Son. We abide in Christ by abiding in His doctrine. And there is no other way to abide in Christ. We cannot abide in Christ the way we want to abide in Christ. We have to abide in Christ by following His instruction. And what happens if we do not bear fruit? He cuts us off. And in fact, He goes on. In verse 6, if anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. We should bear fruit. What kind of fruit should we bear? You know, we have in Galatians 5, 22 and 23, and 2 Peter 1, 5 through 10, I think very clearly the type of fruit that God demands of us. You know, many times we have kind of a checklist in our own mind. And we go through this checklist, this mental checklist, okay? I do this, I do that, I do this, I do that. That means I'm bearing fruit for the Lord, okay? I attend every service, I check that off. I attend when I should. Most people who are here this morning, you know, you attend when you should. You check that off. All right, I'm bearing fruit for the Lord. Okay, I do this and I do that. I've done this and I've done that. So you check that off. Is that really what he's talking about when he says bear fruit? Now that's certainly part of it, and it's important for us to edify and encourage one another in attending, singing these songs of hymns and praise to God, praying to God, studying His Word. This is all part of it. No question about that. But what about who we are? You see, those are the things we do. Isn't there a difference? Now, we need to understand that the things we do should be motivated by who we are. But the real important question is, who are we? Who are we? And why do we do the things that we do? Do we do it just so we can check off a list and say, I've done this and I've done that? Or are we doing it because this is what we want to do, because we want to serve our God? We want to please Him. In Galatians chapter 5, look at verse 22 with me. But the fruit of the Spirit, this is the fruit, by the way, it's interesting, fruit, singular, not fruits of the Spirit, but fruit of the Spirit. This is the result of following the Holy Spirit's instructions. This is what He's saying. You have love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. There you have the fruit of the Spirit. Every Christian following Jesus Christ should be like this. This is who you are. This is who you are. You are a person who loves. You are a person that is joyful. You have peace. You are long-suffering. You are kindness. You are goodness. You are faithful. You are gentle. You are a person of self-control. That's who you are. And certainly then the things that you do will reflect who you are. Yes, you will attend every service because you are loving. You care for your brothers and sisters in Christ. You're concerned about their spiritual well-being and their encouragement. And yes, you love your Lord, so you want to worship Him, you see. We should be growing. This is bearing fruit. Jesus expects to find this in us. What if He doesn't? What if He doesn't? We should be growing spiritually in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 10. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence. Add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, to knowledge temperance, to temperance patience, to patience godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, to brotherly kindness charity. Now, notice he says, giving all diligence, add these things. This is who we are. This is who we are to become as individuals. We are to be people of faith. And we are to add to that person of faith, a person who trusts God. Virtue, that's moral purity and character. And knowledge, we learn more and more about God, and that's a growing thing. We become knowledgeable of God. That's who we are. We're a person of self-control and perseverance, patience, and godly. That's who we are. And thus we do godly things. And we're kind. That's who we are. We're just kind people. And loving. That is who we are. You know, really, I guess I could sum it up real small here. Bearing fruit is to become like Jesus. It's to become like Jesus. Jesus has cleansed us from our old sins through His own blood. The Father has forgiven us. And God is transforming us into the image of His dear Son in the process. And that's what this is all about. That's what our growth in Christ is all about. We are becoming more like Him. And what if we're not? What if we're not becoming like Him? What if we don't become like Him? What's going to happen to us? You know, Jesus seeks to find us useful in His service. And what if we're not? The Lord Jesus Christ expects us to be faithful in serving Him. And He expects us to be bearing fruit unto His service. In Matthew chapter 25, verses 14 through 30, what about that fellow who didn't bear fruit for his master? When his master returned, he had not been faithful in his stewardship. What did the Lord do to that fellow? We all know what the Lord did to that fellow. We don't have to turn over there and read that. We know what the Lord did. Cast the unprofitable servant into the lake of fire. That's what happened to him. Now, what Jesus found and finds? What did Jesus find in our text? Well, He found nothing but leaves. what he found? Nothing but leaves. It professed to have fruit, but it had none. In Israel, what did Jesus find? When he came to this earth, what did he find in Israel? He found blind guides. Matthew 23 and verse 24. He found those who were hypocrites. They were professing to be godly, but they were not. They were just like that tree. Those who caused others to blaspheme because of their lifestyle, because of their conduct. In Romans chapter 2, verses 17 through 24. They taught the law, said you need to keep the law, but they didn't keep the law themselves, and the Gentiles looked at them and mocked them. What about us? What about those in the church, those who claim to follow Jesus today? Even broader than the church. We have the church, those who are following Jesus, and we have those who claim to be following Jesus today. But we have those in the church who claim to be following Jesus, but they are blind guides. They're leading people away from the truth. We have those in the church today who claim to be following Jesus Christ, but they are hypocrites. And someone says, well, you know, I don't want to go to church over there because they're just a bunch of hypocrites, like those Jews. And perhaps we're living in such a way that we cause those who are outside to blaspheme, not to become members of the body of Christ because of our lifestyle, because of our conduct. What a shame that is, if that is the case with you. Hypocrites. Are there hypocrites in the church? Are there hypocrites among God's people? Those who profess to be God's people? Always has been, always will be. Never going to change. Never going to change. Someone says, well, I'm not going to services over there because they're just a bunch of hypocrites. Well, had you rather go to church with a few of them for a little while and go to heaven, or would you rather go to hell and spend eternity with them? That's the choice that you have. Doesn't make much sense to me for someone to say, well, I don't want to go over there because they got some hypocrites there. You got hypocrites at the baseball field and the football park and everywhere you go. Hypocrites are everywhere. So that's just an excuse that people try to use. But what Jesus found and finds, what did Jesus find? Nothing but leaves. What does He find in His people today? You know, Jesus does find, I'm sure, when He looks down upon us, He finds those of us who are striving to serve Him in spirit and in truth, try to worship in spirit and in truth. He finds those. And you know, the Lord, when He comes back, He's going to find those who are faithful in the earth. He'll find those who are faithful. There are those who are faithful in Him. And people who speak where the Bible speaks. The Lord finds people. There's no question, people exist like that. We are that kind of people. We only want to speak where the Bible speaks, and we want to be silent when the Bible is silent. And if we're not speaking where the Bible speaks, and we're not silent where the Bible is silent, then we need to change. We need to conform to what the Bible says, the idea. And Jesus certainly finds people who are like that. That's what we're striving to be. 1 Peter 4:11, speak as the oracles of God. That's what we want to do. People who diligently seek for truth. That's what we want to be. We want to diligently seek for the truth. Don't get your mind made up on a certain particular point and say, I'm never going to change my mind. I don't care what you show me in the Word of God. Let us always have the mindset that if God's Word says I'm wrong, accept what God's Word says and admit my wrong and be right with God's Word. That's the way we all need to be. Acts 17, verses 11 and 12, the Bereans were more noble than those in Thessalonica. How is that? They searched the Scriptures daily to see whether those things that they were being taught were so. And it would behoove us to follow their example in that. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15, be diligent. Be diligent to show yourself approved unto God. 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 5, examine yourselves to see whether ye be in the faith. We always need to be looking internally into our own life to make sure that when Jesus comes again, He finds us bearing fruit. He finds us not being hypocritical, but being sincere followers of His Word. He finds people who are bearing fruit today. As He looks down from heaven, I know that there are people following Him. They are bearing fruit. And when the Lord returns, as Matthew 13, 23 says, He will find faith in the earth. He will. But let me ask you this, on a personal basis. If Jesus came today, if Jesus returned right now, what would He find in you? What would He find in you? Would you be found fruitful in His service? Have you been serving Him? Not just going through a checklist, 1, 2, 3, but becoming more like Him and living for Him. We have that unprofitable servant passage there, Matthew 25:14-30 again. What did He find when He came, that unprofitable servant? He had found that he had put his money in a hole in the ground and did not use what the Lord had given him. Now, what's He going to do to you when He comes back and He finds out that you've buried the talent and the ability that you've been blessed with by Him, that you haven't been using it for His glory? And He comes back and He finds that you've buried your talent, your abilities, what you can do for Him in the ground and you haven't used it. What's He going to do to you? What's He going to do? He's going to say the same thing to you that He said to that unprofitable servant in Matthew chapter 25 and verse 30. You will also be cast into that lake of fire where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Are there those here this morning who have nothing but leaves? You put on a front, you put on a good show. In fact, nobody may have an idea, an inkling that you are not really bearing fruit. You are unfruitful. Because you go through all the motions. But as far as you are concerned, you are not actually becoming more like Christ. Perhaps unauthorized practices may be a problem. You want to do things that aren't scriptural. I don't think we have that problem here at all. And I certainly hope not. And we would all, I think, agree, well, that person, if he's doing things that the Lord has not authorized him to do, he's doing them for his own glory, not for the Lord. Certainly, he is nothing but leaves as far as the Lord is concerned. He's not bearing fruit for the Lord. I think most of us can see that. But what about those who just go through the motions on Sunday morning? What about us if we just go through the motions when we're partaking of the Lord's Supper? We partake of the bread and the fruit of the vine, but we don't examine ourselves. What about us? What if we just go through the motions when we sing a song? We sing the songs, we sing the music. We might even sing it beautifully. But we don't sing from the heart. What about us if we do that? What if we just go through the motions? We bow our head when a prayer is being led and we're thinking about the football game last night. What about that? We're just going through the motions. Well, what if we're just hypocritical? There are hypocrites in the church, friend. There are. Put on leaves, but have no fruit. What about apathy? Apathy. Those who just don't have the zeal for the Lord that they ought to have. When Jesus comes again, when He returns, if He returned today, would He find you apathetic in His service? You, as far as Matthew 6 and verse 33 is concerned, you have not practiced that teaching. Put first the kingdom of God and His righteousness and all these things be added to you. You have not put the kingdom of God first in your life. That is not your priority. What if He finds you that way, in that apathetic state? What do we read in Revelation chapter 3 and verses 14? Follow. What about the church at Laodicea? He spewed them out of His mouth, or was going to spew them out of their mouth if they did not repent. What if He finds us just not growing, not bearing fruit? What happens to all things that do not bear fruit, that do not grow? What happens to things that don't grow? We see things that do not grow that are living as sick and dying. Things that do not grow, they have one alternative, and that is to die. We must be growing spiritually day by day. Our outward man is, yes, it's perishing. But our inward man should be being renewed day by day. We should be growing spiritually every day that we live. Now, we've already talked about this some, but what Jesus did and what Jesus will do. When it came to that fig tree in Mark chapter 11, what did He do? In verse 14, in response, Jesus said to it, "Let no one eat fruit from you ever again." And His disciples heard it. And of course, the next day, the morning, the next morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree died up from the roots, verse 20. What about Israel? You know, Jesus warned them, Matthew chapter 3 and verse 10, or John warned them actually in that passage, but Jesus did as well in many passages. 1 Kings 9, 6 through 9, God warned them, told them that if they did not follow His commands, that they would be removed from the land, they would be cursed. That's what Moses said. I said before you, blessing and cursing. They chose the cursing. In Matthew chapter 23, verses 29 through 36, Jesus gives a very strong denunciation for the people of Israel. Assuredly, I say to you, all these things will come upon this generation. What things? He says in verse 35, that on you may come all the righteous blood shed on the earth, from the blood of righteous Abel to the blood of Zechariah, son of Berechiah, whom you murdered between the temple and the altar. Verses 37 and following, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the one who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her, how often I wanted to gather you together as children, gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing. See, your house has left you desolate. He warned them. And then in chapter 24, he tells them of the destruction of Jerusalem. Their nation was going to be destroyed. Why? Because of their sin, their rejection of God. They had not borne the fruit that God expected of them. What about the church? What will Jesus do? You know, we read in 1 Peter that when Jesus returns again, you know, the judgment is going to begin where? Where is the judgment going to begin? Peter talks about how the judgment is going to begin with us. In verse 17 of chapter 4 of 1 Peter, for the time has come for judgment to begin at the house of God. And if it begins with us first, what will be the end of those who do not obey the gospel? Those who bear thorns and briars, we're told, will be burned. Hebrews 6 and verse 8, 2 Thessalonians 1, 7 through 9. Those of you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord shall be revealed from heaven with His mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of His glory and from His power. That's what's going to happen to those who bear briars and thorns. Those with no fruit will be cut off, John 15, 1 through 6. Those who are unprofitable will be cast away into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. There's that unprofitable servant again. Nothing but leaves. That's what Jesus found on that fellow when he came back. Nothing but leaves. Cast him into outer darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. In Revelation chapter 3, verses 15 and 16, I know your works, that you are neither hot nor cold, or cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. They were not bearing fruit. What about the faithful? Let's turn this around. What Jesus did and will do. Now, we don't have the example in the parable of the fig tree regarding what Jesus did as far as blessing is concerned. Although He did talk about it in His application of the lesson in verses 23 and 24. For surely I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you will receive them, and you will have them. Now, faith is the important lesson here. Trust God. What about those who are faithful? In Romans chapter 2 and verse 7, those who seek for glory and honor and eternal life, that's what they get. Because of their faithfulness, they will receive that glory, that honor from God Himself and eternal life. Good and faithful servants in Matthew chapter 25. We've talked about the unprofitable servants. What about those who were profitable servants, those who bore fruit for the Master? Well, they were increased in their abilities, and they were increased in their service, and they were increased in their blessings. And so it will be with us. What about the steadfast and the immovable in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 58? Be steadfast and immovable. always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that the labor in the Lord, that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. You'll be rewarded for your labor. How many passages talk about that? You will be rewarded. God will reward you for your labor. And those who sow to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. You'll reap what you sow. You sow to the flesh, shall the flesh reap corruption? Sow to the Spirit, you will of the Spirit reap life everlasting. You will reap what you sow. The faithful. What a wonderful blessing. As Revelation chapter 14 and verse 13 says, "Then I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, Write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, they that they may rest from their labors and their works follow them." We'll be rewarded with eternity in heaven with God. What a wonderful thing. But those who have nothing but leaves won't experience that. You will not receive that reward, but rather you will receive the just condemnation for having nothing but leaves. Just like that fig tree. Jesus was just in doing what He did. Jesus sought fruit on that tree because He expected it. It said, "I have fruit." It put on the leaves. "I have fruit." But when Jesus got there, what did He find? He found nothing but leaves. No fruit. So He cursed it. And it withered and it died. That's what happens to those today who have no fruit. Who say they do, but they don't. This text is a strong denunciation of hypocrisy. There are many who have a form of godliness, as Paul says in 1 Timothy chapter 4, a form of godliness, but fail yet to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. Oh, they go through the motions. They go through all the rituals, if you will. They go through all the activities. They may say all the right things. But their heart is far from God. You see, the whole idea is that we become in the image of Jesus Christ. Romans 8 and verse 29. That's the whole concept. That's our whole purpose for being here as a local church. To help each individual become more and more like Jesus Christ. That's what real growth is. We would love to have this building filled with individuals every Sunday morning. We wish, we hope, we would pray. I hope that we would have this building full every time we came together. That'd be wonderful. Represents more people interested in serving God, more souls. That's great. But real spiritual growth is that each individual member of this congregation become more and more like Jesus. That's our goal. That's our purpose. To help us all bear the fruit of the Spirit. To grow in the spiritual graces. That's what this is all about. If Jesus were to return today, what would Jesus find in you? What would He find in you? Would He find someone that's growing spiritually? Now, you may not have reached perfection yet. You may not be completely ripe yet. But you've got fruit. And you're growing in that fruit. You're growing in Christ. Well, the Lord's going to help you. He's going to prune you. He's going to help you in that. But what about those who just put on the leaves and they just have nothing but show? If the Lord came today, what would He find in you? And what would Jesus do with you? Just as you are right now. Just as you are. Jesus came right now. You stop and think about that. You stop and think about it. Jesus is here. You are as you are. What would He say to you? What would He do with you? If you're here this morning, you're not a Christian. I know for a fact what He'd do with you. You'd be lost for all eternity. There's no way around that. No way around it. 2 Thessalonians 1, verses 7 through 9. Too clearly teaches it. What happens to those who do not obey the gospel? Everlasting fire. Everlasting punishment. That's where you're going. No question about it. What about those who are in Christ but they're not bearing fruit? I can tell you what's going to happen to you too. You'll be cut off. And you'll be cast into the fire. That's what's going to happen. God's Word is true. So if there's something in your life that's amiss, that's not what it ought to be, you make that right. Whatever you need to do this morning to make it right, you make it right. If you're not a Christian, you come forward right now and you obey the gospel of Jesus Christ from the heart. You become a child of God. If you're not living for God as you should, you're a Christian. You're not bearing fruit. You need to turn that around. If it's something public you need to make known, make right, you do that. And you do it as together we stand and sing the songs and select for your encouragement.